Money. It's money. What money is it? Can you see from back there?
$1.
We have 521. We have here a $1 bill and a $20 bill, okay? So these are very similar. From the back of the room, you probably can't tell which is which, I'm guessing. They're about the same color. They're exactly the same size. They're the same shape. They're the same thickness. They both have pictures of people in the middle, numbers around the outside. These two things are very, very similar, almost the same. Now, let me ask you this question. Are they equal? If I owe you $20 and I give you $1, are you going to be okay with that? No, because these two things aren't equal, are they? They're very similar, almost the same, but they're not equal. One is much more valuable, 20 times more valuable than the other one. Okay, I have something else I want to show you. All right, can you tell what that is? It's not a quarter. It's a Susan B. Anthony dollar. It's a dollar coin. Now, these two things in the very back row, can you tell which one's the coin and which one's the dollar?
Yeah,
you can see that from back there, right? These two things are very different. In fact, they could hardly be more different. This is paper and rectangle and thin. This is metal and round and shiny. These two things are very different. Are they equal? Yes, they are. They're both worth a dollar. If I owe you a dollar, I can give you that. I can give you that. We're square. They're equal. So you might ask me, what in the world does that have to do with Mother's Day? Yes, we are doing a Mother's Day message today. And I start with that because our country, our culture, has been in a struggle for a long time now, a struggle of understanding men and women. Our country came from a time where women were less than citizens, where men and women were not equal. And to call a woman anything less than equal to a man is dishonoring to a woman. It's not right. But we've moved to a time where we now say men and women are the same. And to call men and women the same is just as dishonoring to women as to say that men and women are not equal. You see, two things can be very different and be equal. And that's something that we miss. That's a truth that we find in Scripture that is beautiful, and we're going to look at this morning. From the very beginning of time, God intended men and women to be different but equal, both vital for humanity, and most importantly, where we're going to end today, both vital to reflect the image of God in a dark world. And so what I want to do today is look at the beginning in Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, we have kind of the detailed creation of man and woman. We have a short account in chapter 1, verses 25, 26, 27, but we have the detailed account in Genesis 2. And we're going to look at verses 18 through 25. So I want to read those for you this morning. Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 through 25. Then the Lord said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper as his complement." So the Lord God formed out of the ground every wild animal and every bird of the sky and brought each to the man to see what he would call it. And whatever the man called the living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the livestock, to the birds of the sky, to every wild animal. But for the man, no helper was found as his complement. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to come over the man, and he slept. God took one of his ribs and closed the flesh at that place. Then the Lord God made the rib he had taken from the man into a woman and brought her to the man. And the man said, "This one at last is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. This one will be called woman, for she was taken from man." This is why a man leaves his father and mother and bonds to his wife, and they become one flesh. Both the man and his wife were naked and felt no shame. I think it's kind of ironic that our whole country, especially flower shops, celebrate a Mother's Day, a day for mothers, while at the same time we live in a culture that is trying to erase motherhood and what it really is, what it should always be. Here's kind of what I mean by that, just one glaring example. For instance, if I were to walk around in our town and see two men who were married to each other and raising children, then my culture tells me I should see that as a beautiful expression of modern family. But I have a problem with that because you know what? I value mothers. Motherhood, womanhood is important, is vitally important to humankind, to mankind. And so for us to get out of the mess that we're in a little bit, for us to move in a good direction, hopefully as God's church at least, and then maybe our society can follow, we have to understand what it is to be a mother, to be a woman, and how men and women work together. And so that's why we're going to look at this passage. Now, I want to share with you, as we talk about this, we're talking about a man and a woman. But the themes that I'm going to talk about, the stuff that I'm going to bring up today, is about mankind. It's about all of humanity and the importance of men and importance of women. We will talk some about marriage and a husband and a wife and those things, but the importance of that institution teaches us a bigger truth about mankind, and most importantly, like we'll see at the end, about the image of God reflected in mankind. And this story in Genesis chapter 2, I think, is so often misread and misunderstood. So we're going to dive into each one of these verses today and see what God is trying to teach us from this incredibly unique and oftentimes very strange story about the first man and the first woman. So let's begin by looking at verse 18. In verse 18, we have something that if you've read the whole story, it would stick out very clearly. It says, "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper as his complement.'" Now, if we go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 18 is shocking. Here's why it's shocking. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 10, it says, "God called the dry land earth, and he called the gathering of the water seas, and God saw that it was good." Then in verse 12, "The earth produced vegetation, seed-bearing plants according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seeds in it according to their kinds, and God saw that it was good." And then if you jump down to verse 18, God makes the sun and the moon and the stars. And in verse 18, it says, "To dominate the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness, and God saw that it was good." And then if we jump down to verse 21, "So God created the large sea creatures and everything, every living creature that moves and swarms in the water according to their kinds. He also created every winged bird according to its kind, and God saw that it was good." And in verse 25, "So God made the wildlife of the earth according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and creatures that crawl along the ground according to their kinds, and God saw that it was good." God creates everything from the sun and the moon and the stars to the seas and the land to the tiniest little insect. And every single time he says, "That's good. That's good." And then he creates man in chapter 2 and he sets man in the garden and he says, "It's your job to work this garden and to take care of this place." And God saw that it was not good. It's not good. Why in the world did God do that? Is that the first time in creation he messed up? Did he create everything else and he's like, "Good, good, good," and he made a man, he's like, messed that one up. Knew it was going to happen sooner or later, but I messed that one up. When it came time to create man, even in chapter 1, when it talks about, it's kind of the short story of the creation of mankind, God forms him with his own hands, right? He speaks everything else into being, but he makes man with his own hands. He stoops down. He gathers up the dirt. He forms man, and he does what? He breathes his life into him. From the very beginning of the story, there's something different about mankind. There's something unique there. And so when it came time, as we find out in Genesis 1:27, we are created in God's image. Nothing else in creation has that distinction. We are created in God's image. So when it came time to create in his image, it took more than just speaking. It took a process because God wants us to understand what it means to be created in his image, what it means to be man and woman. God wants us to understand who we truly are, so he takes us through a process. So let's look at what that process is. In verses 19 and 20, it says this, "So the Lord God formed out of the ground every wild animal and every bird of the sky and brought each to the man to see what he would call it. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the livestock, to the birds of the sky, and every wild animal. But for the man, no helper was found as his complement." God does something really interesting at the beginning of the story. First, he makes man, a man, all by himself, all alone. And he gives him a job to do. If you look back in your Bible at verses 15 through 17, it says, "The Lord God took the man and placed him in the Garden of Eden to work it and watch over it. And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree of the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For on that day you eat from it, you will certainly die.'" So God takes man, he puts him in the garden, he gives him a job, he gives him some rules, some parameters. He says, "Okay, here you are, you're all by yourself, here's your job to do." Why did God do that? Why did God create a man and put him in the garden and give him a job to do all alone? Now, in ancient times, and it's just as true today, unfortunately, you think we would have matured some, but in ancient times, you can see probably how easy it would be for a man to view himself as superior to a woman. When so much depends on how big and strong you are, how good you can hunt and fight, where the warriors are the ones that are looked up into society, you could see how a man would say, "Yeah, I rule this place." And so I think God had a lesson to teach man from the very beginning. He put him on the earth, he gave him a job to do, and he left him all alone so that man himself could look around and say, "What? It is not good. There's something missing here." See, the reason God says it's not good is because he's not done. Creation of mankind is not yet complete. And he wants man to see that. And so to drive his point home, God does something crazy. Now, you've heard this story probably so many times. Even if you didn't grow up in church, you've heard this story. But do you realize that God then, he's already created the world. The world exists. There's animals running everywhere. Adam's in the garden. And God takes up and creates one of every kind of animal. Whoop, here's a rabbit. Whoop, here's an elephant. And he sets them in front of Adam so Adam can name them and look for a helper. Now, my dad was a wildlife biologist growing up, and we grew up just loving biology and animals. Before church on Sundays, we'd watch Marty Stauffer's Wild America on PBS. Any of you guys remember that show? Yeah, me and dad would watch that and drink our coffee before church on Sundays. And so, mine was actually chocolate milk, but it was cool because I was doing it with dad. We watched that, and my dad was always telling about these incredible animals and these creatures. So, think about the vastness of creation, every single bird and animal that walks along the ground, okay? And the Bible tells us that every single one was prated in front of Adam, and at the end of it, no suitable helper, no companion was found for him. Why did God do that? Do you think God was surprised at the end? Do you think God put all the animals out in front of him and Adam didn't find one and God was like, "Man, I would have sworn he was going to choose the elephant. I thought he definitely loved the elephant. That thing's awesome." Do you think God was surprised? No, God had a purpose. Why would God parade the vastness of the animal kingdom in front of Adam? To drive his point home. Adam, you are not complete. For you to be here alone is not good. And I can bring all of creation in front of you, and it still will not fill the void that exists in mankind until you see woman. Woman is vital. God's proving his point to Adam. So then we go on to the next very strange part of the story. In verses 21 through 23, it says, "So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to come over man, and he slept. God took one of his ribs and closed the flesh at that place. Then the Lord God made the rib he had taken from the man into a woman, and brought her to the man. And the man said, "This one, at last, I've seen all of creation. This one, at last, is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. This one will be called woman, for she was taken from man." You ever wonder why God did it that way? I mean, God could have just like he formed a bunny or he formed an elephant, he could have went, "Broop, and here's woman." Why did he do it that way? Why did God choose to do it that way? Sometimes I think we mistake this for a lesson about the preeminence and the importance of man. How man was first, and woman was made out of man. But I think we miss a really important point here. Eve was made out of Adam, came from Adam. You know why I believe that is? Because every one of the other billions upon billions of human beings that have walked and do walk and will walk on this planet came out of who? Woman. I don't care who you are this morning, you came out of woman. And there's a place where we don't have what doesn't seem to be equality. Wait a minute. Every other, you know, I have watched my wife, and there is 5 times I've seen her carry and give birth to our children. And I'm not saying I want to go through birth, okay? Hear me clearly on this. But there's something unfair there. There's something a little unequal there. She does something amazing that I will never do. There is something that women kind of have over men. So I think it was important for God that the very first woman came out of man. Because every other man from that point will come out of woman. And it's one of those great examples that God gives us. One of probably the biggest ones where we are not the same, but we are equal. We are not the same, but we are equal. So to drive this point home, once God does this, God acts in this way, what is Adam's response? Adam realizes at that point what? We are one. We are one. It's so much bigger even than a picture of equality, isn't it? Is my arm equal to my leg? I don't know. They're all part of me. We're all one. And that's Adam's understanding. After God walks him through this process, he says, finally, flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone, we are one. That's the point that God wants to drive home. The man and woman came together in marriage, and it completes the image of God that he already talked about in chapter 1. And in the end, what this is really all about is not about you or about me or about genders. It's about the image of God. It's about bringing glory to God through the way that we live our lives. That's what this is about in the end. And mothers, women, are vital to the image of God in mankind. I have another short video that I want to show you that I think drives that point home really, really well. And then we'll talk about it some more and look at a couple other scriptures. The way the passage ends in verse 24 says, "This is why a man leaves his father and mother and bonds with his wife, and they become one flesh." I think so often we hear that verse and we think, oh, it's because of the story of Adam and Eve. That's why a man leaves his father and mother, because that's the way the first marriage happened. No, that's not at all the way the first marriage happened. The guy fell asleep and God took his rib out. Why does a man leave his father and mother? What, for this reason. Because marriage, the way God intended it, is a microcosm, is a small little picture of the image of God in one man and one woman. But the big image of God is reflected in mankind and humanity and all of men and all of women living the lives that we're called to live, being the people that God created us to be. And that's the lesson that God just taught us in those verses. And that's the reason that we protect marriage. That's why marriage is so important, because it is a little example of man and woman in harmony, which clearly reflects the image of God. It's all about the image of God. The image of God is not complete without women, without mothers, especially mothers. I want to share with you a few passages. Isaiah 49, 14 through 15, Zion says, "The Lord has abandoned me. The Lord has forgotten me." And this is God's response. "Can a woman forget her nursing child or lack compassion for the child of her womb? Even if these forget, yet I will not forget you." See the motherly characteristics of God there? See what mothers teach us about God's compassion and love for us, that we are his children? Moms, do you ever forget one of your children? I don't mean just like left them at the grocery store. We've all done that. It's okay. I mean, have one of your children called you and you've been like, "Who is this?" Will a mother forget her child? Even if she did, I will not forget you. Isaiah 66, 13 says, "A mother comforts her son, so I will comfort you, and you will be comforted in Jerusalem." As a mother comforts her son. When I was a little boy and I fell and I got hurt, you know who I ran to? Not dad. Because dad would be like, "You're fine." Mom would say, "Come here, come here." Actually, just a minute ago during brunch, Nathaniel fell off the flower thing out front. And he came running to me, and you know what I said? "You're fine, go play." God says, as a mother comforts her son, so I will comfort you. Here's a funny one for you. I don't know if you knew this was in the Bible. Hosea 13:8. God says, "I will attack them like a bear robbed of her cubs and tear open the rib cage of their hearts. I will devour them like a lioness, like a wild beast that would rip them open." You ever get a mama bear angry? Messing with her kids, right? God has that kind of a love, that kind of a protecting love for us. You ever see a mom when someone hurts her kids? That's the way God loves us. God is a mama bear. He said it himself, like a mama lion. Don't mess with my kids. And one of my favorites, Matthew chapter 23, verse 37, Jesus says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings." That's a characteristic of God that we learn from moms. That gathering and covering, protecting, loving, and never forgetting. God needs us to see that. God needs us as people to see that that's the way he loves us. And we see it through moms being moms, through women being women. Now, the passage doesn't end with verse 24. It ends with verse 25. And verse 25 says, "Both the man and his wife were naked, yet felt no shame." You thought I was skipping that this morning, didn't you? You thought we were going to talk about that one. That's the end of the passage. That's the last verse. That's the concluding statement. We can't skip that. The man and the woman were naked and felt no shame. This verse is an important part of the lesson because this verse teaches us as men and women how we relate to one another. They were naked, which means they were completely vulnerable. They were completely exposed before one another. He was clearly a man, and she was clearly a woman. They were naked, and they felt no shame. They were completely comfortable, completely satisfied, completely fulfilled in who they were and who God created them to be. There is nothing to be ashamed of. There is nothing to hide. You are woman, I am man, and this is beautiful. This is the way it was meant to be from the beginning. Now see, there's a lesson there, brothers and sisters, because we don't do that anymore. Not that we all need to stand there naked with each other. That's not what I'm talking about. As men and women, we're afraid to be exposed. We're afraid to be vulnerable. As men and women created in the image of God, we should not only be able to, but we should be excited to stand up and say, "You can do that, and I cannot. You are different from me. You can do that, I cannot." And I think that's beautiful. I think that's wonderful. "You can't do that, I can." And I think that's beautiful, and I think that's wonderful. Because when we come together, we are whole. We are one. The way God intended it from the beginning. It's Someone once said that women are not created to do everything a man can do. They're created to do everything a man can't do. And the same is true of men. You can flip-flop that. And for us as men and women to be able to stand up and say, like our illustration from the beginning, we are very different. Very different. And we are equal. Not only are we equal, we are vital and we need one another. We don't only need one another for our health, but we need one another so that people can see the image of God in mankind. You see, I don't think it's a mistake. I don't think it's an accident that our society is erasing motherhood, erasing womanhood, making men and women exactly the same. I think it's a trick of the enemy, because I think he wants to erase all the beautiful things that we see about God and that we learn about God. He wants to erase the image of God in mankind. And one great way to do that is to erase manhood and womanhood and get rid of them. So you know what we need today? That's why our quiet time was about not being conformed to this world, but being transformed. We need women, we need mothers who are brave and courageous, who will stand up and be women and be mothers and be proud of that. God has placed an important piece of himself inside you, and you are the only one who can display that to a dark and dying world. Don't be ashamed of that. Don't try to erase that, and don't try to be someone else. Because guess what? I can't be a mom. I can't fill in for you. Women, we need you. Mothers, we need you. Because God's image is clearly shown. So we need women who are proud, who are courageous, who will not be conformed by this world, but will be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So today, women, mothers, be women, be mothers. Let the light of God, which he himself has placed in you, shine brightly in a dark world, because it is so much needed today. And men, my men out there, celebrate these women. Celebrate these mothers. Because the world will never see who God is without them. You and I, brothers, cannot do it alone. Amen? Amen. Stand up with me and we'll close in prayer. Father, thank you for your incredible love for us. Thank you for your love that is protective, your love that is comforting. Thank you for your love that desires to gather us into your protection, under the protection and comfort of your wing. Thank you for your incredible love for us. Father, thank you for the mothers in our life. I know some of us have had amazing biological mothers. Some of us have had amazing adopted mothers. Some of us never experienced motherhood till later in life. Maybe it was a woman inside of our church. Maybe it was someone else in our family. But thank you for the women who have displayed motherhood in our lives, because we learn so much about you, God, about your love and who you are through these incredible women who are not ashamed, who are strong and courageous enough to stand up and be women, to stand up and be mothers in light of a culture that is trying to erase who they really are. Father, thank you for that incredible love. And I ask that you would continue to empower the women in our lives to be who you've called them to be. Continue to empower us as men to never have an unhealthy view on one side or the other, but to understand, and we are thick-headed. You sure had to go through a lot to get Adam to understand how important Eve is. But Lord, teach us that as men. Help us to realize that and celebrate the women, the mothers in our life. And let us come together, completely vulnerable, understanding that I can't do it alone, that we need one another so that the world can see how incredibly good our God is. We love you and we praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you.